Back to today's top story, the Senate confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He hasn't spoken yet, but in written remarks released in advance of the hearings, he said a good judge must be an umpire, a neutral and impartial arbiter who favors no litigant or policy. And I don't decide cases based on personal or policy preferences. I'm not a pro-prosecution or pro-defense judge. I'm a pro-law judge. Brett Kavanaugh was also a longtime member of the Conservative Federalist Society, which helped engineer his nomination. The society was formed in the 1980s during the Reagan administration. They advocate for originalism, a strict reading of the Constitution. They oppose judicial activism and the expansion of what they call the administrative state, the agencies that make up the government. So let's get a Federalist's view. Jonathan Adler is a professor of law and director of the Center for Business Law and Regulation at the Case Western Reserve University School of Law. He's also a member of the Federalist Society. Professor Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And good to have you and have your voice. And what do you say to those who are hearing Brett Kavanaugh say, I don't decide based on policy preferences. I favor no policy. When he was a member of the Federalist Society, known to be against, again, this thinking of an administrative state, too much bureaucracy, too much power in the hands of government agencies, you write that his concerns about the so-called regulatory state shouldn't be misinterpreted as hostility to regulation. Why not?
Well, because in our system of government, what we call the administrative state or federal regulatory agencies only have that power which Congress has given to them in various statutes. And Judge Kavanaugh, over his 12 years on the D.C. Circuit, has shown that he takes these principles very seriously. He wants to make sure that agencies are playing by the rules. But he's also made clear that so long as agencies play by the rules that Congress has given them, it's not the place of a judge to decide whether or not they like the particular policy at issue. What matters is that the agency is acting within its legal authority and following the procedural requirements that Congress has set forth.
Well, but as you know, there are rules, including one, and I don't want to dive too deep into this, but the Chevron Doctrine, which says that agencies' interpretations of statutes they administer can get some deference from the courts. In other words, they have some leeway, and they should be given some leeway. Many people believe that's true when it comes to environmental protection and other things, that there is a fear that a Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh will roll back.
What we've seen from Judge Kavanaugh's record is that he's a strict grader. He doesn't give agencies an easy pass, but that's true when agencies want to regulate more, and it's also true when they want to regulate less. Doctrines like the Chevron Doctrine are premised on the idea that in some cases, Congress has delegated the power to the agency to resolve an ambiguity, to fill a gap in a regulatory scheme or something like that. And Judge Kavanaugh is one of those judges that takes that starting premise very seriously. Before he defers to an agency, he wants to know that Congress has given that authority to the agency.
Well, especially coupled, though, with this White House, which it's obvious has had its agency heads rolling back regulations from previous administrations. And then there was that memo he's bound to be asked about from the White House that said that Judge Kavanaugh has overruled federal agency action 75 times. It feels a little, I don't know, disingenuous to say that that may not be his goal, given that, you know, he was a member of the Conservative Federalist Society, the society backs him, and as Max Boot writes in the Washington Post, few people, including the president, are interested in judicial philosophy. They're interested in political outcomes. On the one hand, the Federalist Society is against an activist judge. On the other hand, seems to have wanted a judge in place who would be an activist and would roll back regulations.
Well, I'd say two things. First, I think it's notable that in 12 years on the D.C. Circuit, in participating in somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 cases or so, Judge Kavanaugh has been reversed once. And we've seen many of his opinions, including many of his dissents, embraced by the Supreme Court. More broadly, one of the whole reasons we give justices life tenure is because we understand that the political process tends to focus on specific policy outcomes, but that we want judges not to focus on the policy outcomes, but instead to focus on broader principles of law.
Well, you do point to the fact that he wants to follow the law, but he has followed his heart. I'm thinking of the 2014 case over a mining company in West Virginia and whether or not that mining company could keep the permits that allowed it to dump mining waste in streams. The majority on the court decided that the EPA could rescind the permits for the dumping because of the environmental harm. Kavanaugh disagreed. He wrote that the EPA never considered the cost to humans, to coal miners and shareholders in the mining company. Why shouldn't we conclude from that, that this is not a by-the-book, but a by-the-preference decision?
First of all, it is a longstanding principle of administrative law that an agency has to engage in reasoned decision-making. And part of reasoned decision-making is evaluating the likely effects of what the agency is doing. And since that decision, the Supreme Court decided in an opinion that affirmed one of Brett Kavanaugh's opinions below that that includes consideration of costs of what agencies do. And that it's not a question of whether or not the agency reached the right result, but we want to make sure that agencies who are headed by individuals who don't stand for election are in fact looking at all of the questions that they should. I would also note we can find lots of other decisions in which Judge Kavanaugh voted to uphold agency actions. We can find opinions in which he voted to, for example, uphold the EPA over the dissent of some of his other colleagues on the D.C. Circuit. So, you know, in his 12 years on the bench, we see decisions in favor of regulators. We see decisions against regulators. What we also see, though, are a lot of decisions that the Supreme Court has endorsed and embraced.
Well, Jonathan Adler, again, a professor of law and director of the Center for Business Law and Regulation at Case Western Reserve University of Law, and also a member of the Federalist Society. What would you like to hear nominee Kavanaugh ask today?
I would like to hear him asked about his judicial philosophy and how he applies that judicial philosophy to the cases before him. Too often, senators are trying to play gotcha and trying to get a judicial nominee to say how they would rule in a particular case or on a particular issue. And a judicial nominee can't answer that sort of question. But the sorts of questions they can answer are about how they balance competing authorities, how they interpret a legal text, and how they apply their judicial philosophy.
But as you know, non-lawyers are interested in direct questions about direct cases. They just want to know, you know, how might you rule? And how would you like him to answer the questions? He's bound to be asked about Roe v. Wade. He has said, he told Senator Collins, Susan Collins, that he felt that Roe v. Wade was settled law. But many abortion rights activists don't think that's enough. They think he should be asked whether he felt it was a correctly achieved decision. They feel that unless he says that, they're not sure he's going to work to overturn it. What do you think he should answer to that question? Does he think it was correctly achieved?
I think that's the sort of question he should decline to answer. Senators,
because then you feel he'd have to recuse himself if he actually was asked that on the bench?
It would create that risk. And, you know, every party before the court is entitled to an unbiased court. And when asked, especially in the context of the confirmation process, to give that kind of answer, it easily leads to the territory of only the right answer gets you confirmed. And that creates a sort of conflict of interest for a judge that's really inappropriate.
And it's pretty likely that he is going to be confirmed. How do you feel about that?
My own view is that when a president nominates a qualified individual to the Supreme Court, they should be confirmed. I feel the same way about lower courts. I think Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified for the Supreme Court. I hope he gets confirmed. And I would like to think that going forward, all highly qualified nominees of all presidents would get the same sort of consideration and confirmation.
There is some irony that in his remarks, he is complimenting his Chief Justice on his district court, who's Merrick Garland, who didn't get the opportunity.
Merrick Garland is a fine jurist. You know, it's unfortunate that the judicial confirmation wars got to the point where someone of his caliber, character, and qualifications wouldn't get the sort of consideration that judicial nominees should get. Yeah. It's a travesty that I certainly hope we don't see repeated in the future.
Jonathan Adler, professor of law, director of the Center for Business Law and Regulation at the Case Western Reserve University School of Law, and a member of the Federalist Society. Professor Adler, thank you so much.
Sure thing, my pleasure.
We'll be hearing from different voices all week. What's a question you want to ask? Let us know, hearnow.org.